public. And what's an even bigger concern for us as Christians is other Christians don't seem to understand those words either. Words like baptism, words like gospel. As we know, as Tom talked about, there's a different gospel. There's two gospels out there. Talked about that a lot last week. What our hope is compared to the hope of the nation of Israel. Close that chart. You see one hope. That arrow points out into eternity. But then you've got another hope here that deals with something different. We talked about that a bit last week. How about the word mystery? Is that word understood or misunderstood by the community at large? Pretty much misunderstood. That word mystery means there's mystery novels. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about the mystery as the Apostle Paul describes it. You could do a little survey, and you might, because you're spiritually literate, but you might be surprised at the results you get if you went and did a survey on what these three things mean. Reminds me of a time I was on jury duty, and you can sit and hear the exact same things that other people hear and go into deliberations, and you think, they didn't see the same trial I did they? You have a totally different feel for what happened. It's really kind of shocking. Same kind of things when you try to share grace. You know, you see it, you can sit and listen to it, as we do here, and other people can sit and listen to it, and they just don't quite understand what's being mentioned. But we talked about how words like that are misunderstood, but then there's words that and phrases that have pretty much disappeared since modern Bibles started coming out in the mid-1800s or so. Phrases like rightly dividing, or dispensation. People look at you and kind of shake their head. What are you talking about? And we also mentioned that if those concepts aren't being taught, then they're being taught against those concepts. Does that make sense? Because although if it's all the same thing, it all means the same thing, there's one gospel, then rightly divide, what are you talking about right division for? That doesn't make sense. Right. It's not being taught, so it's by extension not being taught against, I guess you could say. So, many books, modern Bibles, I call them books, because they're like a Bible. It's not the Bible, though, because they don't have those phrases in there. There's a whole study based on that idea of a transmission of documents that were used to create these books. John's been talking about that in one of the studies during the week. And there's a lot of reasons why that's so. But suffice to say that Satan hates this message.
That's right.
That's the main reason. It's the truth. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. Two concepts there. You have the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth right there, but you have to rightly divide it. What does that mean? Well, we talked about that a bit last week. We'll get into some more of those details as well this week. And how the fall of Israel is how we're even here today. Why are we even here today? We wouldn't be here unless Israel fell and something happened as a result of that. So we'll talk about that as the morning goes on. The phrase right division, the word dispensation, these are things that you have to bring up with people. Otherwise, they're probably not going to hear it. It's not in the Bible. It's called a Bible, but it's not in there. So you have to bring it up. It's the hard part. You have to be so sort of diplomatic in a way, because Paul taught Timothy to try to be gentle in all men, and it's hard. You don't want to be gentle sometimes. You want to crack him over the head. Come on. But think about us and how gentle God is with us. The very nature of this dispensation is patience, long-suffering, and joyful. It's not just you he's asking. That's his character to the entire world. He says, I'm patient, long-suffering, and joyful because I'm building something special. We're all a part of that here. And if you can even teach one more person a little bit about it or see him get saved, he's kind of calm down and say, okay, I plant, I water, but God's going to give the increase. We're going to talk about how all that comes from, how all that's related to the fall of Israel, and what's the result of that as we go on through this morning. So, Satan, murderer, liar from the beginning. John 8:44 says he's a murderer and a liar. He hates God, hates those concepts. especially hates right division and dispensation. But why does he hate it so much? It's because what God is doing right now. He hates the word, but he especially hates the word rightly divided, doesn't he? That's what God's doing right now. He can pull all kinds of concepts out of time past and what he calls ages to come, but in this case, just when the chart's closed, before you get to the ages to come, just right in this period here, he hates that too, but it's not what God's doing right now. So his hatred is especially evident now based on how much these words are just disappearing. And yet our attempt is to try to get it back in there if we can, into conversations. When you think about Satan and his resources, sometimes you can get discouraged. You look at what's going on in the world, and you think, it is an evil world, but it's so evil. How in the world are we ever going to make any progress? You feel like it's always two steps backwards or three, and maybe one forward. But the grace of God is going to keep going no matter what, and you're a part of it. And the more you focus on God's word, right division, and share with people, you realize that's I'm just a part of it. I'm co-labor with Christ. Amen. And I'm just slowly, one day at a time, trying to take the word into my soul, recognize that without the grace of God, I'm nothing, I'm worse than nothing, I'm worthy of punishment, unbelievable punishment, lake of fire forever. Yet because of the grace of God, I get to be part of something super special. We're going to talk about how God has put in His Word some time stamps. You heard about time stamps recently? I don't know, maybe you're like, what? Well, if you take a look at some, there's a movie out. Not super widely seen, but enough to some people are going, wow. You know, your phone, your silly phone, has the ability to tell where you are at any point in time, how high you are, how low you are, when, what happened. It's crazy. It's kind of scary. Can be used for positive things. Can be used for negative things. And there's white hats and black hats. We talk about that once for fun. But God has put in His Word some timestamps too. I want to take a look at that, which we didn't look at last week, because the book of Romans says, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. But you don't see quite as much of a time stamp on it. But you get in the book of Ephesians, you start getting some time stamps, you can start figuring out when all that took place. Just want to kind of take a look at how those things all played out in those two books through the fall of Israel. It's a dangerous world out there, isn't it? And that's why we go over these things over and over again, because it is safe. Paul told Timothy to say it. I knew a man one time, he took a gun to work, not a police officer. He's a teacher. Took a gun to work. Another friend of mine said, why did you do that? He says, a junior high teacher, why did you do that? He says, those kids are dangerous. Oh! Yeah. Now it's dangerous for us, but for different reasons. It wasn't that dangerous for that guy. I guarantee it wasn't that dangerous. But it is spiritually dangerous out there. If you don't understand right division, you don't stick with the idea of what right division teaches to the fall of Israel, you can get in trouble real fast. So we say these things over and over. We repeat these concepts because it's safe for me, for you. We don't understand where the danger is, but how to combat it as well. How to take what you know about the fall of Israel and what that means for us, and how to let that dwell in you richly, as the scripture says. So, when you look at that phrase, the fall of Israel, in Romans 11:11, that phrase, the fall of Israel, is unique to Paul's writings. There's another time when you see the idea of the fall of Israel, but it's separated by a couple of words. And I want to show you that in a little while. It's in Luke. It's kind of like, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. But it's not the same thing. So I want to show you that before too long. But if you look at, let's take a look here. Let's look at some of these timestamps first, then we'll talk about that passage in Luke. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. As if in Romans, Paul says, Gentiles were given over. The Jews did the same thing they accused other people of. and all the world has become guilty before God, Romans 3:19, I think it is. And then we said that Romans 3:23 was an incredible dispensational statement, all of sin, because you could only say that. It wasn't said like quite like that before. All have sinned means both Jew and Gentile. They're all under sin. And the gospel of the grace of God says you're justified freely. So that's part of what we'll talk about later as well. But in Ephesians 2, you start to see some, what I mentioned as timestamps. You've got something that happened at a certain time. And Romans just says they've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, when did that happen? How did we get to that point? Well, Ephesians starts to give you some details about that. Ephesians 2, and he says 2 verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, etc. So he says remember. You know, I was thinking this week, I must have lost my cell phone 6 times in the house. Couldn't remember. I'm not kidding. It had been like 30 seconds. I put it down and walked away. And I thought, where's my phone? And I go all over the house. And I finally find, I think, did I really remember putting it there? It's like, man, it's weird. And when I drive my car into a parking lot, come back out, I just stand there. I can't remember where my phone or my car is. That's never happened to you, right? Where's my car? So when I get out of the car, I stop and I look. There's my car. I'm over and back, and it helps me remember a little bit. But Paul here says to, wherefore, remember, so think back, in time past, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time, there's a time stamp of sorts, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That reminds me a little bit of Romans 1 when he says, Gentiles given up, given over. They're down here. They are a mess. Only one way, a couple of other ways, but one basic way to get blessing from God, and that's bless Israel. Timestamp. And then in verse 13 he says, but now... So that tells you something was going on before, but now something's different. Another timestamp there. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then that third timestamp is in, I think it's verse 7. So back up to verse 7 in chapter 2, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So if we take things literally, which we do, we compare verse with verse, which we do as well, and you rightly divide, you can start to understand how that, when he talks in Romans about the fall of Israel, like how is that able to happen? Well, he talks about that more in Ephesians and gives you some of those details, how it was that God was able to say Israel fell, and as a result was able to treat everyone the same, when I'm sure if you were to read the book of Romans, you stop and think, well, there. Let's back up a little bit. How in the world could that have happened? There was the law, covenants, promises. How could all that be just gone? You see, they're on the same footing now. Well, Ephesians gets into some of those details. So let's take a look at some of those things. Think about Genesis 12. Think about you. I'm sure you've almost have those verses memorized by now, but when God said, I will make of thee a great nation, Abram, I will bless them that bless thee. That nation was going to be a kingdom of priests and holy nation. It's in Exodus 19, verse 6. The kingdom at one point had such an influence over other people that the leaders of other nations would travel to see what was going on. And the Queen of Sheba, when she saw what was going on in 1 Kings 10, she had no more spirit left there. She says, this is amazing. Fast forward to Matthew through John and even early Acts. And the kingdom is said to be at hand. And the king himself is introduced to the nation. But along the way there, the fine print kind of got in the way. What's that little word that we always talk about a tripped up nation of Israel. It's the word if.
Yeah.
Oh, darn. If you keep the commandments and promises, then you'll be blessed. It's a masterful way to expose pride, isn't it? That all, if we'll do all these things you told us, God. He knew that wasn't possible. He knew there was no way that they could keep the law. They weren't capable. He was trying to teach them. Leviticus 26, he says, 5 cycles of chastisement if you don't obey. And sure enough, they started, it was like a prophecy. I've been listening to that series that John did, fascinating series. But one thing he pointed out in Leviticus 26 is you don't get those timestamps, do you? Not really. It tells you what the basic characteristic is going to be. You have to kind of piece it together. But where do you get your timestamp? When you get to Daniel, right? It starts laying out 70 weeks. And those 70 weeks, to a T, go clear out. And so I was thinking about how Romans and Ephesians laid out, and it kind of reminded me of that comparison between Leviticus and Daniel. Leviticus is sort of general, you can see it, but Daniel says, here, 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 here. And you can pick out those timestamps. Then Romans tells you, you know, they fell, they've all sinned. But then Ephesians tells you, here's how he was able to do it. Here's the timestamp. Time passed, but now he's... So, not sure if that's a great comparison, but it kind of struck me as a similarity between those two sets of books. Get more details in Ephesians. And so, all that said about the kingdom, it's being offered. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. He even tells them, they ask him in Acts chapter 1, take a look at that real briefly, Acts chapter 1. Wilt thou at this time, as he's gone through a 40-day session, after he's died, buried, spends 40 days with them after he rose from the dead, and he asked them, they ask him, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And I just love how he answers this. It's so cagey. I just love it. He doesn't put necessarily a timestamp on it. They said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And his own power. And he goes on to describe something else that's going to happen. He says, don't worry about that right now. Let's talk about this. What's going to happen next? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And he's received in the cloud out of sight. So, that timestamp there is part of this prophecy program, isn't it? Now, if I close this, just a real simple question. What do you notice about that line going straight across there? You notice that it's nice and straight? It doesn't go down, doesn't go up. It doesn't go up like inflation. You notice that inflation's like skyrocketing. It doesn't go down like purchasing power of your dollar. It doesn't go down. It's just straight. So even during all this time, early Acts, Christ is, John the Baptist is beheaded. Murder number one, we talked about that last week. Strike one, so to speak. Strike two, major strike. Lord Jesus Christ is crucified by the nation. Strike two. But even there, that line's still up there, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how that chart shows that line's still up there. You get to Stephen, strike three, we said, right? And what was supposed to be the prophetic response? Wrath. Absolute wrath. Tribulation period. But notice that line is still up there, right? Is that line fallen? No. He's still dealing with the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. But Paul says, through the fall of Israel. Kind of interesting how all of a sudden they fell? Because when I was reading in Luke, let me see if I can find Luke chapter, when Simeon, see how he says it here. You don't rightly divide your Bible, you might mix things up like this. I've got it in my notes somewhere, so I can find Luke when Simeon is holding. Yeah, I think it's Luke chapter 2. Let's see here. When he says this, oh yeah, in Luke chapter 2, so he's met the baby Jesus, and he says he's so thankful because he gets to see the Savior in person. And in verse 34, Luke 2, verse 34, he says, And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the, here it is, fall and rising again of many in Israel. That's kind of interesting. But is that the same thing as Paul's talking about when he says the fall of Israel? No, shake your head, no. Think about the big shakeup that took place in the leadership of Israel. The leaders, were they doing what they were supposed to or not? Not at all. Not at all. Exact opposite. Jesus told them the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to who? A nation that will bring forth the fruits. I think that's how it got split up. Who's that turned out to be? What does Christ tell the little flock? He says, Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. Takes it from those guys, gives it to them. So it's probably a lot more in that verse than I'm not getting out of it. When he says there's rise and fall, it's like those guys are falling. These guys are rising to that position of leadership. He's going to have them sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 19, Luke 22. But that's all, again, up here. So the rise and fall of many in Israel is talking about that shakeup. That's the way I see it at least this point in time. And so when he talks about the fall of Israel, it's like the nation in its entirety falls. The book of Acts records that in a lot of detail. So due to all those things that they, due to all of their disobedience, God uses that disobedience to start a new program. It's pretty amazing. The time stamp on that, we said there's time past, but now in ages to come. He talks about time past, but in Ephesians he also says that it goes back before the beginning of the world, doesn't it? Before Genesis 1:1. When does it go back to? Eternity past. It's a plan that something... See, when the Godhead got together, they had to think of a plan to... They realized that all would sin and fall and come short of the glory of God. They realized that. And this plan, there was a way for the plan they had come up with for the earth to redeem not only the nation of Israel, send them through that period of wrath, but also reach the Gentiles. But they also realized that if this cat got out of the bag, so to speak, it would put the whole thing in jeopardy. Why is that? Think about 1 Corinthians 2. We've read that many times. If the princes of this world had known it, what? This. What would have happened? What would have not happened? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. To me, that's as close as you can get to breaking the scriptures. And scripture can't be broken, right? But he would have broken the scripture. That's the way I see that now. That's crazy. They had to think of upon another plan that they had to keep secret from way back over here that would take the fall of Israel, which was not something that... Well, they were going to go through this period of wrath, but it wasn't really from a fall per se. They were called, Lo am I, not my people. But it's like that part of that chastising. They're scattered, they're just a mess, but they're still... He's dealing with them. He says, you know what? They're going to fall. I'm going to make available... By grace, because I know that Rich Davis out there in June 26, 2020, that guy, oh man, he ain't going to make it otherwise. No way. The Jews, I'm going to find a way to save them, save that guy, save everybody else that's available. 2,000 years, hopefully more. You say, why do you want to go more? Well, think about it. Wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened today? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
But you know something else would be awesome? If it didn't happen today, why? Yeah, you can teach others. So you don't want to get discouraged and, oh man, another day to take in the grace of God, teach other people, and keep looking for someone who can teach somebody else. I know sometimes I've wasted so much time. I feel like it was a waste of time. Maybe it wasn't, but you're trying to help somebody out and they're just not getting it, you know, whether it's, you know, in their life socially or financially, and you're like, oh, but your work in the Lord's not in vain. We've talked about that before. It's not in vain, is it? You want to always be thinking about how you're planting, you're watering, but who gives the increase? God does. That's His job. You're co-laborers with Him. Sometimes you won't see what you think is fruit, but just plug away, keep going, don't stop. And let the grace of God, think about the things of the fruit of the Spirit, things that will keep you from getting your mind off of what you should be doing, which is just focusing on the grace of God, right division, and teaching other people as much as you can. So, you know, I thought about this idea of Paul being called a missionary. You know, we've talked about that quite a bit. You know, I think there's something kind of nefarious to that. Not just all people understand. But what does a missionary do? A missionary takes something that an apostle has been told and takes it out to the world, right? We support some missionaries. But calling Paul a missionary misses the point that he is an apostle, and it's more than just a slight. It's like, well, Paul had the 12, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and so he saved Paul so he can go to the Gentiles. And it's like the line's still up here or something, and then somehow this is in place too. It doesn't work like that.
It's a downgrade.
It's a major downgrade. He is an apostle. And so when you hear, and when you see in maps and the like, it says missionary, it's just another, I don't know, slight, I guess you could say, but it's a subtle way of trying to soft pedal what God is doing today. That's the dispensation of the grace of God through the Apostle Paul, the apostle, the Gentiles. So God knew in eternity past the only way that he'd be able to reconcile the heavenly places unto himself was through the dispensation of grace. When he faked out Satan so badly, he made him look like an absolute fool by revealing this and keeping this a secret. And when he revealed that, you know, we often joke about how the Apostle Paul, when he's on the road to Damascus, I'm going to take these guys to court and get them murdered. And he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he probably stopped and thought, man, I hope that's not who I think it is.
Yeah.
But you know who else was even more shocked? It was Satan.
That's right.
He probably thought, what? We talked about this with my little grandson. What? What's going on here? You can't do that. Just watch me. And as he revealed information to Paul through Romans, so he's like, oh yeah, but there's a lot more that's in play that you didn't take it. He says, no, I got Ephesians. Wait till you read Ephesians, Satan, and see what's going on there. And we get to see the wisdom of God in books like Ephesians that show his eternal wisdom on display and how we get to be a part of that. Pretty amazing, huh? Just stop, make you stop and think, wow, God's got this. I was wearing the T-shirt, which I don't usually do. It has had a verse in the front that says, "If God," big letters, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And, I'll just wear it. See what happens. Went to the zoo in Irvine Regional Park, and I had almost forgotten I was wearing it. But then I saw this mom and her little kid say, "Look," and she said, "Do you see that shirt?" He goes, "Yeah." She said, "I'll tell you about it later." I thought, well, maybe that's a good thing. And somebody else said, oh, I like your shirt. I said, oh, thanks. I said, yeah, I'm caretaking for a little boy who his parents don't believe in God, and I try to teach him about God. And I said, wow, you go. I said, Romans 8, great book, great chapter in Romans. So as you try to get people to see that dispensation and the grace of God and what it means to the fall of Israel, and you stop and think about how we're here because of that, and we're going to be put in the heavenly places and forever be able to display the glory of God in the heavenly places. And because of that program and this one, it all gets wrapped up in one bundle by the end. It's world without end. Amen. Then it's just a remarkable thing to stop and think the grace of God is what makes that possible. That's why it had to be by grace. There would be no other way. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ephesians shows how all those layers of things that God thought through in eternity past, and how he put this program, he just stopped for a little while. It's not gone forever. Another fascinating series John did was on covenant theology and how they've got another word that's fallen on hard times, the idea of covenants and how that's fallen on hard times as well. And yet, the covenants, it says in Romans 9, belong to who? Belong to Israel. You are in the dispensation of the grace of God. It's purely by grace. Through faith. I never get tired of reading about Romans 3. Turn to Romans 3. We'll just take a look at that for a minute. It just really, sometimes I read through it too quickly. When you slow down and you think about what a gear shift happens. You know, my oldest daughter said, "Dad, car, I was sitting at the light and the transmission goes, vroom, vroom," and I was revving the engine and it wasn't going anywhere. It was in drive. And I thought, "Oh, transmission, that sounds expensive, you know?"
Yeah.
But here, when you get to Romans 3, it's like a big gear shift. Like something, either, you know, it's just amazing how it goes from in Romans 3:19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And if you were to stop there, you'd think, "Woe is me, what do I do now? Where am I going? What can I do? I'm sunk." Read through Romans 1 and 2 and you realize, I got no chance. But the next verse, he says, "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all," there's our verse, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified," and here's one of our favorite words, "freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So our redemption is found in a person. Person of the Scriptures, the star of the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "You know what? That plan of ours is going to be free and clear." Another thing about my daughter Amanda and her husband Jonathan, they just bought a condo. They get the keys tomorrow. But now they're on the hook. They have to pay for it.
Right, yeah.
Almost $500,000.
In 30 years.
Do it sooner if you can. That's my one message to get it out. We talked about having a mortgage burning party. But now they get the keys. They're going to take those keys. They can't even go see it for another couple of months because they're going to move back east. So it costs, you know, a couple $1,000 for a plane ticket out and back. And I'll just have to wait to see it. But now they have access. But you know what? Because of the grace of God and the fall of Israel and all the middle wall of partition being blasted with dynamite only more, you have access to something more special than even that. What do you have access to? To the grace of God, the throne room of God. In fact, God said, "You are in my Son. I'm going to put you in him. He's going to live in you." It's like, wow, this is pretty cool. And you have access to me at every moment because of that. Just talk to me. I don't always like to do that, you know, because it's like, oh, I have to stop doing what I'm doing. I got to think about God more. But when you do, you stop and think, that's what he wants us, just to have more of a conversation with him about everything you're going through. And you stop and talk to him about what you're going through and say, "Lord, what do I do? How do I think about this? How do I handle the situations I got? My family is so much pressure sometimes." He says, "I know. That's why I died for you. That's why I was buried, rose again. That's why I put you in me, and me in you." And Galatians 2:20 says, "I'm going to live in you. Not I, but Christ lives in me." And all that's possible because of that fall of Israel. One body, one faith, one baptism, all that unity of the Spirit, all that comes into play. And so my hope is that when you get to Romans 3:23 there and you read those verses, that you'll never read them that way again. You get to Ephesians, you realize there's a time stamp on there. There's a way that God orchestrated that entire plan ahead of time, saved it in his back pocket and sprung it on Satan and the world. And now us, unfortunately, someone told us, someone told you about the gospel, the grace of God. My grandpa he was very instrumental in me understanding what it meant, gospel, the grace of God. I've told you this before, we'd go to church on Sunday out in Riverside and I'd get a sermon in the back seat about Paul. Paul. Get there in the church, Paul. And all the way back, another message about Paul, all the way back. They just couldn't stop talking about it. And I'm so grateful for that. They were just like, somebody would listen. I guess Rich, get him in the car, let's go. I was the only one. It's like I got three, four kids in my family. Why am I there? It was weird. I don't know. But I'll take it because it got me to this point here and in this ministry and all that it means and all that John and Lori do and that that God is doing, that we're part of. You know, we're able to put our time in the seats here. I know a lot of you give financially. We're so grateful for that. That makes such a difference. Things that Raymond's been doing with the website, it's like, wow, this is fun to use now. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. That's really giving me like a boost. It's like I can get in there. You know, click, boom, I'm into the Leviticus series. It takes like 2 minutes most. It's just amazing. So that's been a real boost. But all the hard work John's put in has helped lay the foundation for that. Now it feels like it's starting to, you know, come together. Hopefully you won't get banned by somebody, because you never know. You tell the truth and you get things shut off. But we'll just take what we get. So when you get into Romans, that fall of nation of Israel, explained in chapter 9, 10, 11 there. And chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7. And you get to glorious chapter 8. What do you find out at the beginning of chapter 8 because of the fall of Israel? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I heard John one day going, it says the law, John says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He says, yeah, it's the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. I thought, I'll never look at that the same way again. It is. The law of the Spirit, life in Christ Jesus. That's what life is now. We try to help people see how to live, but it's life in Christ. It's Galatians 2:20. Christ lives in me. It's that kind of life that we're trying to get across to people that comes from that fall. It doesn't happen without a lot of things changing that were in place up to and until the stoning of Stephen, and instead of continuing, he says, nope, let's take a break. Let's do something completely different. It's something I had in mind a long time ago. Here's what we're doing now. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Pretty remarkable. So, let's take a look here. Let's take a look at the end of Romans 16. Romans 16. I know people get nervous sometimes when we talk about these things, and they haven't heard those words, right division, haven't heard the idea of dispensation, and they wonder why we're so urgent about it. You know, why you talk about that stuff so much? It's because we know that, like we said earlier, this could be the last day of that dispensation. It might go a little longer, but it does, praise the Lord. But that's why we get so insistent upon it. And we try to push the idea of Romans 16, verse 25, and that of him that is of power to establish you according to, and there's our three things we talk about a lot of times. My gospel, the gospel that Paul has preached, gospel of the grace of God, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. He mentions that at least 4 or 5 times throughout his writings. You get those definitions of what mystery means. Something kept secret, it's now been revealed. And then scriptures of the prophets. And that's why we try so hard to find someone who will listen and teach it to somebody else. Again, with patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So, it is confusing to people, I'm sure, when you see the entire Bible laid out there and you see so much focus on the nation of Israel, and all of a sudden it's Paul, what's going on there? Well, it takes a little bit of studying on our own, doesn't it? To study, to see, what's another way I could say it? What's another way I could present it? Who's somebody else I could talk to that might listen? Maybe I could have a Bible study with somebody. Maybe I could start a study with some guy. Whatever it takes to get that point across. And if you do, then you could be glad you at least are thinking about it. And maybe get yourself a chart. I need to get me a big chart like this, too, so I can have it at home, and at least a smaller one, open it up and show people. It's just a way to get the word out there. So, for all the effort that churches spend out there on having the chart closed, thank God our little assembly here is having a major impact, because we're talking about the chart open and what it means for the rest of the Bible. And then we're going to continue that series with John starting next week. So our hope is that you can help someone who maybe like in 2 Peter. Let's take a look at 2 Peter to get close to wrapping it up here. 2 Peter. I wonder, I was just thinking about this passage this week. In 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, when he says, verse 18, 2 Peter 3:18, exhorting the brethren, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I wonder, you know, he remembers back in verse 15, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. I wonder if, you know, Paul's talking about grace, and he's reading about grace, and he's thinking, wow, and this, the tribulation hadn't taken place. And Stephen's like, what's going on here? His head's spinning. And he gets farther out in his career there and writes 2 Peter. And that's hard to understand. Well, take heart from that, because we often think we want to try to teach people and they're going to get it right away. But not everybody gets it right away.
Right.
It takes a while to sink in. Hasn't it taken a while for us? Yeah, it does. Still learning things. A lot to learn. But if you're patient, the way God is with us in the dispensation of grace, if you're long-suffering, like this whole thing is just based on long-suffering and joyful, people will recognize that. People will see that. People will sense that. And that may be able to open that door a little bit farther for you. And if not, find somebody else. It's all right. Well, they're not under the law. If you're not under the law, you're under grace. You don't have dominion over people's faith. We do not have dominion or faith, but are what? Helpers of your joy. There's that joyfulness it talks about. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Help your joy grow. And so when Peter was scratching, saying, oh, what's going on? Well, that's pretty similar to what we talk about today. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what do they pray for? Thy kingdom come. But what are we praying? What are we teaching? Church,
go!
Get us out of here. But if not, it's all right. Is God's grace sufficient for you? Nod your head yes. It is. No matter what you're going through. Think about all that long list that Paul goes through. All the things he went through. And he says, these things aren't going to move me. I'm not going to let that stop me. All that I had in the bank is gone. Spiritually as well. But I have the Lord Jesus Christ now, and He lives in me. All that stuff is nothing. It's less than nothing. Don't need it. I have access to all that I need in Christ. You are part of an eternal purpose, kept it secret, now it's revealed, and it's not going to end. It's that arrow keeps going. You kept that arrow on the front part of the chart. You see that's closed? That just keeps going. We're without end. That's what we're part of. So, through the fall of Israel, grace of God's made available. We are not going to go through the tribulation. We've talked about that numerous times. That's a study in and of itself. But that eternal purpose says you're not appointed to the wrath, to wrath, salvation instead. And so that access, just encourage you to keep using your Bible this week. Keep studying. People might react negatively to what you have to say about right division, dispensations, 90-95% of the time. That's all right. Don't let it bother you. Doesn't bother God. He just says, keep preaching. Preach, preach, preach. Just keep preaching the word. Get it out there. And when you do, and they start to understand that fall of Israel, it'll make Satan upset just a little bit more. Because he's like, oh, somebody else figured it out. Darn it. Just keep preaching. Don't give up. And just enjoy the grace of God. Because that's really an amazing plan to realize that someone, even as much a sinner and vile as I am, can be made a member of the body of Christ by grace. Okay, it's sufficient for anybody. And Paul says it that way too. So let's just take a short break and we'll move on. We'll try to do part three in a couple weeks. See if I can. So I was just grateful for a chance to give. So thank you, John, for that. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Pray that it was clear and just encourage the saints, because they sure are an encouragement to me, and this ministry is such an encouragement to so many people. We can't thank you enough for that and our small part in it. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's take a short break. Thank you, guys. You guys are great.